Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth bringing you another program of the Christian Voters and Buyers League. The subject of today's broadcast, how to deliver the knockout punch to federal court judges. In medieval times, the poor devil of a citizen had to keep dodging a character in a black robe and a hood called the executioner. This executioner used to lop off your head with either a meat axe or a big two-handed sword. We still find such a character today in a black robe who no longer wears a hood to disguise his face. He's called a federal judge, and while he poses great dignity, he's just as feared and despised as the old executioner. He's really not a judge at all, for a judge is supposed to interpret the law. These blackbirds never do that. They write the law first, and then they act as jury and judge against those they persecute, and finally as executioner in carrying out their decisions. These things they do by working in cahoots with the President of the United States, for he is the chief of police who controls the troops in the matter. No less than 28 states of this constitutional republic are now enslaved under the latest tyranny of these federal courts. The latest racket is called reapportionment of the state legislatures. It means, in plain words, that these federal skeletons are telling the people how they shall elect their state assemblies, how many members each one shall have, and that it must be changed before next Saturday night, and most important of all, who these new members will be. The whole racket is to turn the country over to the communists and the minority block votes of niggers and Jews, county by county, and put these two groups further in power. This will ensure a complete integration since the rural areas have never submitted to it. The dirtiest name anybody can be called today is a white man. This state legislature problem came up all at once, all of a sudden, in over one half the states of these disunited states. Previous to that, there hadn't been a speck of trouble for 100 years, until the lace curtain Kennedys became our masters. Any fool can see that this is a highly organized master plan to smash the power of the states and make the Kennedy dictatorship supreme in the federal government. Any moron can realize it is a treasonous conspiracy between the judicial and executive departments of government to capture and kill the legislative, which is the only branch that represents the people. Do this and the jig is up. Do this and our republican form of government is destroyed. Do this and the Constitution is burned to ashes. And we dare to say this too. Do this and the reign of terror has arrived. If the sane and sober citizen looks upon our actions of the Roman orgy spending senators and representatives in Congress as a bunch of nitwits and rubber stamp traitors, a short study of the members of the state legislatures will reveal a collection of downright imbeciles. There aren't even enough brains in the whole 28 states to interpret a tic-tac-toe game. There isn't enough patriotism and pride of statehood in the whole pack to organize a good brass band. And there isn't enough fight in the whole outfit to punch their way out of a paper bag. And that's exactly what these federal court ambulance chaser judges have imprisoned them in, a paper bag. It all began with that despised Franklin Roosevelt, and under his avowed successor, Armageddon is planned. Waterloo will actually be reached. The trick this Kennedy judiciary has used in Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Indiana, Georgia, Kansas, Louisiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin is to have some stooge bring a lawsuit in the state courts claiming foul and unfair representation among the voters. These suits launched in Colorado, by the way, were by inmates of the state penitentiary, no less. The suits are given then the old greased lightning treatment clear up to the federal courts or the Supreme Court. And in every case, it was rigged for the stooges to win and then the existing law declared unconstitutional. a Jew ambulance chaser lawyer named Morris Abram in Georgia, reached the Supreme Court in less than 40 days after starting the suit for his phony stooge at the lowest level. It used to take years, but these black-robed varmints move mighty fast when the cause is communism. This Abram, by the way, is the principal distributor of sex, filth, and pornography books, being a joint owner of the Atlanta News Service and the organizer and lawyer who drew up the charter of the Atlanta News Agency. He is also the chairman of the Treasonous Council on Foreign Relations Committee for Atlanta, Georgia. The state governors are no less guilty, and nearly all of them are in on this deal. These fine birds are the same pack of traitors who swallowed hook, line, and sinker the communist program of mental health. They brought it home from the annual conference of governors, rammed it through the state legislatures, and today our insane asylums are bursting with perfectly sane people, railroaded there by some tinhorn county judge and quack doctor who never saw the patient but once, gotten out of the way by relatives who want to steal the family property, or by traitors who want to remove all opposition to this Jewish communism. Now state governors are trying to usurp the power of the state legislature, and they have nothing at all to do with legislation. For example, there is a left-wing, Negro-loving Governor Vandiver of Georgia. He absolutely refused to call a special session of the legislature unless he was assured that the plan of reapportioning the members of the legislature would be acceptable to the federal courts. He actually wanted a cold deck deal before the hand was played. He wanted the members of the Georgia Assembly to rig things so that some of them would be thrown out of a job. What was good for Georgia didn't matter. What was a fair representation of the people made no difference. What these black-gowned political crooks would accept was the only consideration. Three federal judges, one named Tuttle, a Republican in Georgia where there are no Republicans, openly declared that he had made up his mind beforehand. He said he was against both the county unit system of voting and the reapportionment systems proposed and would rule against them. That was before he ever heard the case. The second, a blackbird named Bell, a Kennedy appointee, if you please, declared he would side with Tuttle. And the third, another a Kennedy appointee, is a former representative of Abram's law firm. Now, isn't that some justice? The citizen stands a better chance in a magnet-rigged roulette wheel at Las Vegas. Eugene Cook, the attorney general, betrayed the people by failing to file an affidavit of prejudice against these judges. We doubt if he even knows there is such a thing. These three black-robed vultures waited in an empty courtroom across the street from the state capitol with this Abram and his stooge client, waited for 3 days for the legislature to vote on a plan they had already decided to throw out as unconstitutional. And the darn fool legislature actually voted. Hurry up, Khrushchev. We'll get more sensible legislation out of you than out of these idiots. Like all other legislatures, the Georgia General Assembly had a chance to smash forever the grand bluff the federal squires are pulling off. Most all of the state legislatures ran so scared and stood around for days at a time, yakety-yacking about arguments that weren't worthy of a Negro voodoo convention. They made no effort to find any solution that would be beneficial to the voters. In attempting to satisfy their waiting black-robed judges, they actually recognized federal court jurisdiction when the Constitution of the United States specifically states that they have no jurisdiction. In most states geographically, these shenanigans mean that the big city area, or about 1/50th of the total area of the state, will rule the state in every phase of political power. It means that crooked politicians in control of big city machines will never relinquish such power. For example, since the Kennedy machine stole the state of Illinois in the 1960 election with 20,000 stolen votes in Cook County, it is going to make sure through this reapportionment that the downstate conservative vote in Illinois will never again offset the socialist machine in Chicago. There you have it. The people cannot expect Congress to save their necks when the state legislatures won't even lift a finger to defend themselves. But one state, North Carolina, has refused to obey the federal court orders. Alabama, Oklahoma, Maryland, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Georgia are under orders now to obey or else. Or else what? And here we come to the meat of this broadcast. Senator Herman Talmadge of Georgia hit the nail square on the head when he said, speaking not only for Georgia but for every other state as well, quote, "Just what happens if the people's duly elected legislature refuses to comply with Earl Warren's new law? What if a legislature doesn't feel like voting to abolish its present system or hurriedly changing it to accommodate federal judges waiting across the street?" Unquote. Will Messrs. Frankfurter, Warren, Douglas, and Black issue warrants for their arrest and hold them in contempt of court? We dare them to try it. We dare Mr. Kennedy to try it. Would the people's duly elected Congress of the state be transferred from the state capitol to the federal penitentiary and kept there until it did vote to satisfy Talmadge, student Warren and company? Oh, brother, this we gotta see. We very much fear that in cases like Georgia's, Judges Tuttle, Bell, and Hooper would soon have tired sitting in an empty courtroom with Morris Abram, waiting for the decision from a General Assembly that had adjourned and gone home for the summer. And we don't believe even Mr. Kennedy or his little brother Bobby would have risked sending in another paratroop division to jab bayonets into the backs of the state legislators until they voted for Mr. Warren's law. Just one good state legislature can throw a monkey wrench into the whole treasonous work of these federal courts. And do you know what they have to do? Just one thing. Nothing. Any state legislature might send a courtesy telegram to the Supreme Court stating that the state assembly had appointed a committee to study the matter of reapportionment and would in its own time suggest a bill for approval by the legislature to accommodate population changes. The bill would be taken up and perhaps voted on if it were held to be in the best interests of the people. The Supreme Court would doubtless be advised of the outcome through the public press. Thank you for your interest, and goodbye. The first state which does this will be acknowledged as great and superb Americans. Georgia could have led the way and failed when it knuckled under to this man, Tuttle. Senator Talmadge, who has used high intelligence in this matter, also said, "It is appalling to contemplate the ultimate result of federal judges appointed for life becoming the arbiters of political affairs in every state." Unquote. Talmadge might well have added that the ultimate result of these decisions is going to kill America. Georgia, like every other one of the 28 states ordered to change, has killed controlled representative government and is finished as a political entity. Instead of rural land areas holding big city political machines in check, there will be a complete reversal of this traditional control. Big city populations will now really increase, padded with niggers and relief roll riffraff to burst them at the seams. They'll be deliberately imported by the millions. They will be purchased votes which will rule the entire state. America can now forget that downstate farm vote. Forget the vote of decent working men and women, the school teacher and the housewife. The rabble is in control. Martin Luther King has come into his own, and the Jewish NAACP now rules supreme. Relief rolls will double and double again. Hospitals will swarm with the pregnancy cases of illegitimate babies, and the politicians believe in only one thing: benefits. Benefits in exchange for votes. Franklin Roosevelt, who started American socialism, or communism, as you will, proved four times that the winning of the nine largest cities would clinch any election. Every state will now learn that the winning of its two largest cities will ensure victory for the welfare state communists throughout the state. American people, you've been asked to bombard Congress about every piece of legislative treason on the books. We now say to you, seek out that little small fry assemblyman in your state legislature. Bombard him as never before. Ring his phone day and night. Ring his doorbell and annoy his whole family 24 hours a day. And tell that bum to refuse to vote in answer to any federal court edict. Tell him if he does, he needn't come back home to campaign, for you'll hound him to death and picket his every meeting. Just let one single state call the bluff of these black-robed, overfed federal judges, and the whole judiciary will collapse like a house of cards. The people will then shovel up the garbage and throw it in the ash can. The Christian Voters and Buyers League is a determined band of citizens who mean to show this country some real block voting from now on, block voting of the white man. We outnumber this Negro-Jewish combine better than 5-1. It's already been beaten in Montgomery, Alabama, in Memphis, in New Orleans, and in Dallas, Texas. Governor Davis of Louisiana beat the Negro-Jewish combine hands down. Congressman Dale Alford in Little Rock beat it on a write-in vote when his name wasn't even on the ballot. Join up with the Christian Voters and Buyers League. We vote Christian and we buy Christian. It is as simple as that. Be sure to get your recording on mental health and the vulgar examinations on sex that have already been given 14-year-old children in the public schools. Address us at Post Office Box 58 in Decatur, D-E-C-A-T-U-R, Decatur, Georgia. It only costs $5 per family to join the Christian Voters and Buyers League, and the address is on the label of this record. Wally Butterworth speaking. Goodbye, all.